for council to order to deal with, of course, the agenda we have before us. I would ask at this particular time, has anyone any pecuniary interest they wish to declare? Seeing no hands raised, we'll allow that to be entered into the minutes, and certainly if during the course of this particular meeting one finds themselves in conflict, notification to the chair identifying the conflict, and we certainly will have it entered in as such.
Excuse me.
That brings us now, I'd ask every, we're ahead of ourselves, but we'll stand and we'll let Reverend Earth open up the word of God.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, teach us to put to good account whatever talents thou hast lent us, to discuss with patience and zeal the municipal affairs which have come before us this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brenda. We did the disclosure. That brings us up to the minutes of the previous minutes. What's council's pleasure relative to those minutes? Councilor Peel.
Move the adoption of the one regular meeting on October 29th and two special in-camera meetings October 15th and 29th.
Who's supportive for that motion? Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Discussion, comments, or concerns relative to those particular motions? Yes.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I would ask that the regular council minutes of October 29, 2012 be held in abeyance until the minutes are corrected. During that evening, I asked it to be noted during the minutes of the meeting that I objected to your bullying, Mayor Hurst, and that is not included in the minutes.
Please.
According to the Act, we can only place motions and directions provided by council unless a point of privilege has been raised.
She raised the point of privilege.
That's not included?
No. Yes, go ahead. You can respond.
I raised a point of privilege, Christina, and I did take the two-day parliamentarian course, and that's exactly what they stated I had to do, and that those minutes should reflect that, as I have requested.
I'll report back on that because I'm receiving conflicting information, so I will take a look at that to see exactly, with respect to the training, what was provided and the information provided there, and according to what's currently in the Act. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Could these minutes be held in abeyance then until we get clarification on that? Also move that.
Is there support for that motion?
Councilor
DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussion? All in favor? That motion will be, those minutes will be held in advance until Christina, our acting CEO, can respond back. But the other two. Okay. On the motion for the other two. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. That brings us to presentations.
Our first presentation, Frank Jenny, team manager, Lancers Baseball, and Dean Culver, director of recreation and culture. Rick Daly, manager of development and programs with respect to the 2013 Canadian Intercollegiate Baseball Association National Championships. It would be appropriate for council to put a motion forward at this time to bring forward consent report item 20C.
I'd entertain such. Councilor Pilon. Supported by Councilor Sutton, that that motion be brought forward, that report be brought forward.
Thank you.
Report 20. Dean, if you would, please. All in favor of bringing that report 20 forward. Opposed, it's carried. You may continue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor and Council, we're here tonight to make a very special announcement regarding University of Windsor Baseball and the UCCU complex, the town of Amherstburg. Frank Jenny beside me is the manager and coach of Provincial Baseball Team. Frank has an extensive background in baseball, dating back quite a while, but significantly notably with his Wayne State University playing career. You'll notice on the screen some of the credentials that come with his history. But notably, Frank was inducted into the Wayne State University Hall of Fame in February of last year as a result of his achievements over the course of his playing career there. And this speaks to a little bit of the depth of knowledge and background that Frank has in the sport of baseball. Currently, Frank is the Lancer Athletic Strength and Conditioning Coach, as well as the manager of Forge Fitness, which is the student fitness facility at the University of Windsor. I'm going to hand it over to Rick now to give a little bit of the background of our relationship with Windsor Baseball.
Thanks, Dean. Mr. Mayor and Council, in March of 2012, we entered into a bit of an agreement with Lancer Baseball for an exhibition series with the University of Laurier. That took place over at the complex, and it was a spectacular 2 days of baseball there. That turned into a longer term agreement in April, where an agreement between the baseball team and the department had the team using the complex as its home field for the 2012 season. In September of 2012, that's when they started their playing season, and it's a short season. It's about 16 games, 8 home, 8 away. But those home games were held at the Amherstburg United Communities Credit Union Complex at the Premier Diamond. So it was a facility that the Lancer baseball team thought was spectacular, and then Frank will get into that a little bit more later on. And then in October, they finished third, they made it to the playoffs. Unfortunately, they ended up on the short end of the stick against the Durham Lords, who were last year's national champions. But because of that relationship, we're now able to work towards future goals, and some of that is coming up with partnerships to help our local athletes, our local elite athletes, in some prospect tournaments and some camps to help them move forward in their careers. And that also means that for the 2013 season, that Amherstburg will still be the home field for the Lancer baseball team. So I'll turn it over to Frank right now.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst and councilors. Thanks for having me, first off. I would like to announce this is something that just came of notice at the national championships 3 weeks ago in Ottawa. I put together the bid document that you are all looking at, and after four schools went through the bid documents at our executive meeting, they awarded the University of Windsor the 2013 national championships. These are currently the only national championships for collegiate / university baseball in Canada. Although the league is called the Canadian Intercollegiate League, it's made up of over 13 universities and 4 colleges. So that'll be held on between the 17th and 20th in the fall of next year, and we really look forward to that. The reason that our bid stood out was because of the facilities. The Premier Diamond is an unbelievable facility. I was only able to give them pictures. Our president came down to handle some business with us, the university, Durham College, Humber College, and St. Clair College the first weekend of the season, and he was jaw-dropped when he walked up to the field. He's a longtime known umpire in Canada from Montreal, and traveled down from Montreal just to see, you know, because we're a new team with a new facility, he had not heard of either of them, and he was just jaw-dropped. So that was a big driving force when the four schools put up for the national championships. It was just the facilities and Class A facilities all the way around. Couple that with the fact that we have the best weather during that time. They're very excited to announce us as the host. And St. Clair College ended up winning the national championships this year. So there is an opportunity that we could have a lot of local talent, local athletes, local students in that tournament.
Great. Any questions of council at this time? Yes, Councilor Davis.
Thank you very much, and besides asking you for your autograph, that's quite a worthy history there. It's yet another great news story, not just a good news story, a great news story. Small town makes good. I can see a headline right now because yet again the parks and rec folks have put us on the map along with your cooperation. This is fabulous. My question to you is what kind of traffic are we going to have in relationship to? I did see a page on accommodation, and what kind of fans, traffic, athletes, families could we be drawing to Amherstburg?
Well, when I was up in Ottawa for the National Championships a couple weeks ago, I noticed that a lot of the close teams, so teams that were within a 4 or 5 hour proximity, I noticed a lot of parents, grandparents, girlfriends, boyfriends, that type of thing at these types of tournaments. If St. Clair were to make it, that would be one less team to travel, from out of town. So we'd see, teams of 25 players. That's the league roster size. Most teams carry between 2 to 5 coaches, trainers, things like that. So you'd see that kind of those kind of numbers for all 8 teams, well, 7 teams, including us.
And do you get populations coming, like attracting tourists to come and watch? Is this something that draws fans?
Yeah. Besides the in-house fans, the University of Windsor student athletes are very close knit. So a lot of them would come to the park to support their fellow Lancers. You'd get parents of our players and players from, Toronto area, typically teams that can travel down on a relatively easy route. Durham is always a national contender. They were the national champs 2 years ago. So they have a great opportunity of getting in the tournament as well. So you would see probably some Toronto-based fans coming down and being able to experience the tournament.
Councilor Sutton?
I think Dean had a point first. Mr.
Mayor.
Sorry, if I could just follow that. One of the things to understand about SEBA is it's a relatively young organization, and so the history, there's not a lot of history with it yet, but I do know from working with Frank in a past career what he's capable of in terms of turning on the marketing. And so I would expect that you'll see a national event unlike what's been currently held under SEBA.
Councilor Sutton?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My hats are off to all three of you. I mean, certainly this was a vision that we had when the complex was just in its formation stage, that we'd have a premier baseball field that would attract these type of events and truly be world class. And I know sometimes people look at a small town like Amherstburg and say you'll never pull it off, but it's people like yourselves who are behind the scenes doing that hard work to attract that really have the spin-offs for our entire community, because it's going to have an economic benefit. It's going to be part of that, turning of the curve that's going to eventually see us get the hotel we've long sought after. It's going to give the kids in our community some role models to look up to and things to aspire to on their own when they go on to their own collegiate and university careers. So this truly is a win-win for all concerned. And I always enjoy hearing people talk about the Premier Field when they see it for the first time, because it really is a jaw-dropping facility. And I'm just very proud that you guys were able to bring this event to our community. So my thanks to all of you.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Congratulations. Fantastic work. Welcome to our town. Through you, Mr. Mayor, Dean, I was just wondering, are we planning any special exposure for the town as a result of the this conflict right there? Like maybe getting the merchants involved, putting up, some posters, banners, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. To you, Mr. Mayor. Absolutely, and one of the reasons why I think this bid was as successful as it was is we had a strong mind that this community would get behind this kind of event. When talking to Frank at the outset, when we said, hey, what do you think about us bidding for it, one of our cornerstones was the idea of this being a very big splash in a somewhat smaller pond where there would be a ton of support for this level of baseball. This is high caliber baseball. This is very, very good baseball. There's 6 teams from across the country that will be coming to Amherstburg to showcase not only their skills, but to win the championship. I think we'll attract the community. I think we'll attract involvement from the community. The other part is that the event actually spreads across the complex. We don't just use the diamond. We're going to be using the meeting centers and our office space and things like that to really put together a first-class, top-notch event.
Yeah, and on that, I'd entertain, of course, a motion to receive the report.
Question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst, and my congratulations to all three of you again. But I just have one question. Most of mine have been answered. It's regarding the if you have any special needs, do you require any more bleachers or anything like that to be brought in for the games?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. During budget deliberations, we will be bringing forward a request to fund bleachers for the Premier Diamond. Understanding what fiscal responsibilities require, we also are prepared for the idea that we have to rent in bleachers for that event. We have a plan B in place, but having said that, yes, you will see a request for bleacher funding during budget deliberations.
Got it prepared, and it'll be coming forward. Yes.
Make a motion to accept the report. Presentation.
Been moved by Councilor DePasquale, supported by Councilor Davies. Yeah. And that's inclusive of the report number 20. So with the mover, Councilor DePasquale, inclusive of report 20 that we brought forward.
Yes, inclusive of the report. Yeah.
All in favor? Opposed? It's carried. Gentlemen, and certainly, frankly, we want to say, as it's been said earlier, you're welcome to Johannesburg. This is great news for us, and it's good in the way that these individuals, you talk about Durham's got some outstanding ball players, and these other teams, I believe they're six, they are going to give people that attend it an opportunity to see some skilled baseball. And so, as it's been stated, they'll see the whole complex. And that's what happens when they come to Amherstburg. They see a small town, when they see the complex, and then they see the other amenities, such as that Premier Diamond. People said we couldn't even get a complex, and we got all of these other amenities too. So this is certainly going to help our programs, help to enhance our events, and at the same time attract people to our community. So we certainly are pleased with the news that you brought for us. This day, and all we got to do is try our best to make sure we got some good weather in October.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Did we vote on it?
Did we vote on it? Yeah.
Did we
vote
on it? Oh, we did?
Moving on to reports now, I would ask Council's consideration to bring forward item 19.3, which is the 2012-13 insurance renewal. We do have our town broker, Dave Powell, and H.L. Hamilton Insurance Company in the audience.
Motion to bring forward, Councilor Sutton, supported by Councilor Davies. All in favor? Motion is carried.
2012-2013 insurance renewal.
On the report, you've had it. What's your pleasure? Councilor Sutton, any questions or whatever you want?
No, I'll move. Well, I'll put the motion on the floor first, and then we can discuss. I'll move receive the report and the recommendations as listed.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. Discussion? Councilor Sutton?
Thank you. I'd be interested in hearing our rep's opinion in terms of some of the steps that town can do to mitigate this. I mean, you know, you do the simple math, and it's 133% increase since 2006 in insurance claims. And I mean, that's alarming, obviously, to myself, and I'm sure the others who are seated at this table. It should be alarming to every resident, not only in Amherstburg, but throughout the county. I mean, it just seems like it's a runaway train, and we're not able to get out in front of it to slow it down. So I'd be interested in your comments, and then I have some of my own in terms of things we might be able to do to maybe halt the progress of this.
Push that button there if you
just
put it on.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. You said that the 133% claims increase or premium?
Premium increase. You know, in the report we cite $399,000 in 2006 And the renewal that's before us this year is $931,000.
Correct.
No, go ahead.
But I mean, when you do the math there, it's 133% increase over 5 years, which for our tax base represents alone a 4% increase in taxes.
Correct. I mean, it's all relative to the claims, right? We've got a frequency issue, we've got a severity issue. You know, the joint and several liability issue. You know, the litigious society. Claims are getting bigger. I'm not sure if you were privy to the report that outlines the frequency and severity of the claims, but it's all reflective of the premiums. It's not just Amherstburg, although Amherstburg has been hit in the last couple of years with severe increases, but we are working towards providing you with some options to not only reduce the premium for this coming year, but also to try and stabilize those premiums in the next coming years, right?
Yeah.
Follow up, go ahead.
And I don't know whether you can comment on this or not. I mean, certainly you touched on one of the big issues being joint and several liability. And I mean, you know, that 1% rule just kills municipalities. There's no doubt about it, right? There can be a company that's negligent, goes bankrupt, and if we're found even 1% negligent, we can be left, you know, footing the entire bill at our taxpayers' expense. But when we were at AMO this year, we were also, I believe, put on by the Cowan Company. There was a seminar over breakfast, and they were talking about the courts even beginning to ignore things like minimum municipal standards and the idea of any kind of contributory negligence. And they cited a case in Hamilton where a gentleman was showing, and I mean, God forbid, you don't want anybody to be in an accident being hurt severely, but you know that they were able to show that they had kept minimum municipal standards up during a snow event, that the gentleman in question was driving on bald tires,
yeah.
That prior to the accident, he almost lost control of his vehicle and took no corrective action in terms of reducing speed or even getting off the road because of the conditions. And the courts just threw all that out. They said he was in no way to blame, that you know the municipality, the standards didn't matter, and they awarded him millions of dollars. And as you said it yourself, I mean, that those awards go right back to affecting the ratepayers because they're the ones who pay the premiums. And the madness has got to stop somewhere. And I think there's got to be a collective way that we can work together to do that. Because, you know, to look to cut costs, to look to, you know, we've done an organizational review where we've looked to do that. And then you turn around and you're fighting a losing battle. And I realize that's not your fault, so I hope I don't make you feel like I'm throwing it on your shoulders.
No.
I'm just looking for a collective, you know, voice to say, how can we really address this, whether it's at this level or the provincial level, to get some serious action taken.
I think that, you know, OMA is addressing the joint and several liability. There was a petition put forward, right? So,
and I think that's what has to happen here. You know, we've talked about this for many, many years, and we've got, of course, our representative with AMO and the municipality have to come together, and certainly the individuals that give these awards, I mean, it's time for somebody to say enough is enough. When you look at ways of trying to reduce those premiums, the only way you can really do it is by increasing your deductible, and so you're no farther ahead relative to that. But the awards that are being handed out, I think that's something that we have to really say that we've got to get behind it collectively as municipalities to see if we can offset this, because it's just getting increasingly out of hand on an annual basis. And the problem lies is when they give out the award, the problem, what they do, they look at the one who is most able to pay, and that's the municipality. And so they're the ones that are held to pay the biggest part of that claim, and that in itself causes the fluctuation or the increase in those particular premiums. Councillor Davies.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you, and it, certainly, yes, it was a big discussion at AMO, but the Federation is also concerned about it because it's dragging smaller towns right down. They're having to stop activities that they've always done in the past, like festivals and things. Now, but on our you know, and I think Councillor Sutton touched on a little bit, risk management strategies that we could do to, I think the departments may already be doing a lot of it, is looking at each department, identifying where the claims have come from, whether they were successful or not, whether or not we can do that, whether or not having removed the fluoride, which is a chemical that had a dangerous, whether that now not being in our water, has that been taken into consideration that we are no longer dealing with one particular safety hazard by having removed it. Those kinds of things I think we also have to kind of look at from our perspective, and see whether or not we can, even the fact that we have a lower crime rate than any other city of our size of 10,000 or more in Canada, cannot count for something, because of course that can add to claims as well. So if you could just give us some ideas on that, I'd appreciate it.
Unfortunately, you know, insurance boils down to actual losses, right? So to try and you know, negotiate based on crime statistics or things like that, I don't think are going to bode very well with an insurance company. Insurance companies are very actuarial by science, and they look at things like severity of claims as a whole over municipal liability. They look at frequency, so the actual number of claims that are being presented, right, whether they're big or small. If you're throwing a greater number of claims at the wall, then something's going to stick, right? So they like to see, even if they're small claims, they like to see less, right, in order to stabilize premiums, right? I'm not really sure, like you say, that, you know, because Amesbury is the safest community in Canada, that that's going to pull anything positive with the insurance company, because they are so statistical.
Councillor Pino.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Not to have this last too long, it's just that risk management was mentioned here, and our public works has done a pretty good job of risk management. I know that wasn't that long ago we inspected all the sidewalks and been repaired, and I'm sure it's a continued program. Street lighting, a contract we have for having the street lights ongoing repair. That's all part of risk management, you know. So we're trying to do our best, but it's unfortunate. I believe it's these lawsuits that are really hurt. I mean, not just ours, it's across the country.
On the insurance and renewal report, what's your pleasure? Councillor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I just have one quick question. Did the rate increase at all because of the problems with flooding in Amherstburg?
Actually, the result of that incident, nothing really came of it.
It was reported back already that the town wasn't liable relative to that, so they're renewing. Impact on the premium there, of course not. On the insurance renewal report, what's council's pleasure? Moved?
Yeah.
Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Reports under police, if council would refer to their supplementary agenda. Community Policing Partnership CPP grant.
Mm-hmm. If council is present, it needs the signing by council. Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report from Chief Berthium dated November 13th regarding the Community Policing Partnership grant be received, and further that bylaw number 2012-106 being a bylaw authorizing the execution of the agreement between the town and the Amherstburg Police Service Board and Her Majesty the Queen's Right of Ontario, as represented by the Ministry of Community Safety and Correction Services, be taken as having read three times and finally passed from the Mayor and Clerk, be authorized to sign the receipt.
You're supported for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
That brings us to reports under development services. 14-1, development charges deferral, 86, 88, 90, and 92 Shaw Drive.
What's the council's pleasure relative to that? Councillor Pilon.
Motion to receive the report by Steve Brown and further that bylaw 2012-101 being a bylaw to authorize the signing of an agreement to defer development charges being taken as have been being read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same thereto.
Okay. Supported by Councillor Davey. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Reports under engineering, 15-1, yard waste collection program operations, Thomas Road Yard Waste Depot.
On the report with Council, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've moved that the recommendation, or the report by Lou Zarlinga dated November the 1st, rather, regarding the yard waste collection program operations at the Texas Road Yard Waste Depot be received. And further, the council provide direction toward the operations of the Yard Waste Depot to maintain the status quo and continue the Yard Waste Depot operations for 2013.
They're supportive for that motion. Councillor Puget supports that motion. Further discussions? Councillor Sutton, Pilon, everybody. Go ahead, sir.
Just very quickly, I think it's the right move given the short nature of the turnaround time between now and the publishing of the calendar. But I think there's also an opportunity and an onus on us to engage the public in some meaningful discussion around that during the 2013 year in terms of trying to, you know, come to a final decision around it. And I know that there's those who prefer the curbside, there's those that prefer the yard waste site, and I'd just like to see us have a public meeting or two and engage their reaction to both scenarios.
There's those that like both of them also. Councillor Davies.
A lot of what Councillor Sutton said I support. I do struggle with the unbudgeted cost of $80,776.32. And certainly I think if we have a good educational program and encourage those to put out as much as possible onto the curb, I think it would be useful to bring down that cost so those taxes can be used for something else. And certainly I was asking Lou whether or not, since this has been going on, whether or not the amount, if you added the two together, are people using the yard less, or have we just a double population going on here?
Councillor Peel.
I mean.
Thank you. I was just, I found it interesting that the Yard Waste Depot has a significant amount of more collection tones than our roadside collection. And I'm wondering if, I agree we have to keep up, obviously, the 2 days we have is working. But I do have a concern that I wish there was a way we could check and ensure that was Amherstburg residents using it. I've talked to some people in there, and they say they know they've seen people from other areas. But that's, unfortunately, we're the only ones in the county that do that, so that's going to, that's why we have the attractive public there.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I agree with the option we're looking at, and I've been specifically, when I'm out and about, I'm looking for those bags, and I'm looking at it, and they seem to be increasing, and it seems like a lot more people are starting to, because I had people call me right up to 2 months ago, they still couldn't figure out what the dates were, and I had to tell them where to look. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people are kind of slow catching on, but I think it's going to catch on really well, and I would tend to think that by the end of 2013, we should really start looking at other options.
Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Lou. And Lou, I agree with this, with the option that we're taking tonight. But also, I just wanted to ask you about the tipping fees. Is that included in the Yard Waste Depot?
Mr. Mayor, the tipping fees are included. And I would point out, too, that although the report shows a differential of $80,000 for the cost of operating the yard waste depot, around $25,000 of that cost is tipping fees, which we would have to pay no matter. So realistically, we're looking at about a $55,000 differential that for consideration of this particular facet of our yard waste depot. And I would like to say and point out with great pride is that Town of Amherstburg is providing the premium service to all of our residents by having yard side pickup, curbside pickup, and the yard waste depot, and not to be to be copied by anybody else.
Mayor Sutherland.
No,
thank you, Mayor Hirst. And one more question, Lou. Have you noticed that the garbage hasn't been thrown by the wayside as much now as before, or have you noticed a difference?
Mr. Mayor, there has been a remarkable difference in less pickups that we have to go and get stuff out of ditches. One of the other things that will help us too is the calendar. The collection calendar is being printed as we speak. Solid Waste Authority is waiting for our decision this evening. Once that hits the printing, and then everybody has that at their convenience in their home, they will actually see the dates, and the curbside will actually probably increase in the future.
On the report, what's the council? We've got a motion on the floor?
Yes.
Would you all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
15.2, 2013 garbage collection routes, proposed route and scheduling changes.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move receipt of the report and further that council approve the new proposed garbage collection routes as identified in the map attached to this report.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Pilon supports that motion. Discussions? All in favor? Again, motion is carried unanimously.
Mayville Jubenville Municipal Drain request for new access culvert.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report by Lou Zarlinga, dated October 31st, 2012, regarding the Mayville Jubenville Municipal Drain request for new access culvert from Mikhail Pukowski be received. Council accept the request from Mr. Pukowski for a new access culvert over the Mayville Jubenville Municipal Drain as per Section 78 of the Drainage Act, and that council appoint an engineer pursuant to the provisions of the Drainage Act for the repair and improvement of the drain, and further that the firm Cruiser Baird Engineers be appointed for the purpose of preparing the report, putting plans and profile for this drain.
There's support for that. Councillor Puget supports that motion. Further discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Again, carried unanimously.
15.4, second concession road drain south maintenance project tender results.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the report by Lou Zarlinga dated October 16th, 2012 regarding the second concession road drain south maintenance project tender results be received. And further, the council accept administration's recommendation to award the contract to the lowest bidder, being Bart D. Giovanni Construction Limited, for the second concession road drain south maintenance project.
Motion has been put forth. Supported. Councillor Puget supports that motion. Further discussion. Councillor Pilon, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just amazed. I see it a lot, but the pricing, eh? It's, I tell you, thank God we can tender out our projects, because an awful difference there between the four of them. Mm-hmm. Just a comment.
On the motion, Councilor Davies.
I did want to ask a question about that. Are the bids that came in, are they doing the exact same thing with those?
So that's what the tender called for, they asked.
I understand that. I just worry that suddenly there's going to be some problems when there's a corners cut, so that they're going to be the exact same standard.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously. Next report.
Reports under Legislative Services, Banner Program and Policy.
It's your pleasure. Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. That the report prepared by Brenda Percy, Manager, Council Services, and Dean Culver, Director of Recreation and Culture, dated October 23rd, 2012 regarding banner program and policy be received, that council approve the banner policy as presented, and any preceding bylaws or policies are hereby repealed. And further, that the user fee bylaw be amended to include a banner application fee in the amount of $100.
There is support for that motion. Councilor DePasquale supports that motion. Further discussions? Councilor Pilon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one question. That $100 fee, is that per banner, or both of them go up, so it includes both?
It's per application, and each application is for one banner.
Oh, so it's only for one banner. Okay.
Councilor DePasquale.
Question for you, Mr. Mayor, to Dean. Is there any consideration been given to maybe expanding that eventually and like covering some of the other entrances further out in the communities? It's just something that came up while I was reading your report, and the report was good. Maybe down the road, if prices increase, we have more spots to generate some money.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, first of all, Brenda deserves the credit for writing the report. I corroborate it. But the only thing I would say about banners in other locations is that to this point, the banner program has been what I would characterize as a burden. There's a lot of cost involved, there's some risk involved. I think that we need to flesh out this new policy for a little bit first before we look at expanding. This actually will take us in that direction, which I think is a good thing, but I would want to wear this policy for a while and understand where people fall on it before we look at expanding.
You're going to get some pushback on this, you can rest assured. But understand that these poles, these banners have to be anchored. They're just not, and that's a very costly thing to do also. We took it from by the school, we put one up here to get it, so if there's going to be it, it's just an added cost that you've got to look at, because as you say, there is a liability relative to putting those banners up. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Again, motion is carried unanimously.
Item 19.2, electronic voting, DOTS program.
What's your pleasure, Councillor Sutton?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move receipt of that report, and further that council direct the cost of the program in the amount of $1,829.56 to the 2013 budget deliberations.
There's support for that. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion.
It's a great initiative.
There's no further discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
That moves us to consent reports. Item C was heard with delegation, so it would be items A, B, and D.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the consent reports A, B, and D be received.
There's support. Councillor Pilon supports that motion. Discussions? Not. All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Consent correspondence. There are three items before council.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to speak on D.
Yeah, you can, but we've got A and C. What's your take a motion for A and C? Councilor Pusher.
I'll move that the correspondence be received for items A, the resolution letter, Corporation of the County of Essex, and C, Canada Post letter, community mailboxes.
Supported by Councilor Pilon. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? And motion is carried unanimously. Consent correspondence B, no removal letter from
excuse me.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I had an opportunity to speak to Mr. Reno, who probably mostly is known World War II veteran, 90 years old. You always see him everywhere on his electronic wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He's made a couple of points that I think are probably a good idea, so I'm going to make a motion that these two points in the letter be referred to the Public Works, and if they could get a report back to us in the next meeting or so, see what you think. I think, like I spoke to him, he doesn't want to move the world. If there's a snowstorm, he understands.
That's
he's not going to be
the points in the letter, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know, he's being very reasonable about it. He's not being, you know, But he still uses, he depends
what's,
on...
What's the points in the letter we're trying to get?
Okay. Point number one, to request the public works following snow events to clear snow buildup with blocks, handicap curb cuts, and major intersections to enable a clear and safe ingress and egress for wheelchairs. And secondly, to enable the caravan bus driver to safely drop off passengers at the curbside in the downtown area following snow events, designate drop-off locations, especially in the downtown area, and request the public works to clear snow at curbside at those designated locations for a safe drop-off for passengers. And most of these people they have special needs, canes, crutches, wheelchairs, and apparently they still go out in the bad weather. So it's something that we could look at, and I don't know how much burden it would be, but if we could get it in the report, it'd be good.
They're supportive for that. Councillor Davies supports that motion. Further discussion? Yes.
Just an addition, if administration could write a letter back to Mr. Reynolds.
I think what we'll do is once they come back with the report, then you can send correspondence.
Okay.
Lou, go ahead, please.
Mr. Mayor, we have contacted Mr. Reynolds by phone and left a message for him today, and he asked in his letter to have a meeting with myself, and we will certainly do that, and we will come back with a report.
Good stuff.
On the motion. Councillor Davies.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'm really happy to see this, and I know that that there's there's snow removal can be a challenge in the equipment that's required. I really do strongly support the curbs being cleared for the disabled. You know, we just had a discussion with Cowan Insurance, and it wouldn't be just the disabled folks who would be suffering; it would be people who could become disabled. Stepping over some of those curbs in bad weather after the plows have gone by does raise a risk for us, and that could be part of our risk management approach. And I really think that, in fact, when you look at the people in Amherstburg, they walk winter, summer, fall, spring. They're on their feet all through the downtown. I think it would just be a good safety feature for everyone. And good for the good for Fritz for leading the way, and certainly for the disabled for leading the way for the rest of us.
And Mr. Mayor, what complicates it a little bit is that there's two functions that we're looking at. Number one is, first of all, we do have a bylaw for removing snow on the sidewalks, which is the responsibility of the landowner. Then the public works has a responsibility of clearing it from the roadway, and there's always the potential of that little small area at a curb cut where there's maybe a little bit of snow and ice. So that's what we have to look at, and we will be looking at that, but that's the process that's involved.
Are you going to be, like, once you people do their driveway, are you going to have that special machine that will stop that plow from...
After you've cleared your driveway?
Your driveway?
Well, if we can find one that's developed specifically for Amherstburg, absolutely.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a further point, the Accessibility Committee has received a copy of that, and I think we're going to try to come up with a kind of a public relations downtown to maybe push a little harder to keep some, to help the Board of Works. I mean, it's pretty hard for them to do everything. So, I mean, maybe some help out there from our committee will help.
Councillor Pugin.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And further to what Councillor Bart DePasquale just stated, is it possible to get the high school involved for community hours, or would that be unsafe?
We can certainly look into that.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? It's carried. Everybody knows what they voted on?
Consent other minutes. There are six items before council.
A to F, what's your pleasure relative to the consent of other minutes? Councillor Sutton.
Thank you. Move that the minutes as listed in A through F be received.
There is support. Councillor Pienaar. Discussions? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Correspondence item 23.1, request from Chris Gaunt regarding a sidewalk in Elma Street.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can we have discussion before a motion?
No, you put a motion on, then you have to have a discussion.
Yeah, discussion.
I move the correspondence be received and further council refer the sidewalk request on Elma Street south side between Fryer and Venetian Drive to 2013 budget deliberation.
Is there a supporter for that? Councilor Puget supports that motion. Discussion. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question to you, Lou. You had sent an email back to myself regarding this that you're going to look at to see if there was still monies in public works to do it this fall. Obviously, there isn't. Is that why we're recommended the way it is?
Mr. Mayor, that is correct. The funds for 2012 repairs has been utilized, and we will be presenting this as part of our operational budget for 2013. And the other aspect that Public Works is looking at here is this is right across the street from the old water tower property.
Yep.
And we are looking, and there will be another report coming to council for the servicing of the three lots that would be created. And it would be ideal at that time if the sidewalk is further continued in an easterly direction to front those lots. And there's also works going to be undertaken a little further to the east to service four additional homes that are still on the septic tank. And again, it would be a good idea to continue that a little further to the east also.
Thank you.
You're going to come with the report for that whole area?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lou.
Okay. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Unfinished business items as of November 13th.
Councilor Pilon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This would be to Lou. Lou, there was $3,000 in our 2012 budget for lighting on Texas Road adjacent to the Verde Club. How's that going?
Mr. Mayor, if I may?
Sure.
I touched base with Don Hicks today. He has been having some difficulties with Hydro One. He has rectified those difficulties, and he indicated that within the next week and a half, the intersection illumination program will be complete for 2012, and also the number of lights on Texas Road that front onto the close to the Verde Club property will also be completed.
That answer your question?
Most definitely.
Anything else under unfinished business? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Christina. Christina, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I realize I couldn't reach you today, but regarding the all-inclusive playground at the UCCU Center, are we going to get a report back on that?
Are you talking about the applications that for funding?
No, regarding if there was an agreement. And I thought that was supposed to come back to council regarding that.
Yes, we can certainly take a look at that. Yeah, we'll bring that back to council.
Okay.
Still under unfinished business. Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On that, under item number 12, sorry. The 50-kilometer sign at County Road 18 and Pike Road to County for approval. That was approved at the county level last week, so can that be removed now from the unfinished business portion?
Unfinished business? Councilor Davies.
Just a question, Mr. Mayor, thank you. It's not on the list, but anything more on the update on Jessica's Circle at the UCCUC? Is there any new business on that?
You have to ask Dean, have you heard any more from the Owen Dykes on Deco's?
No, I haven't. I've had a single conversation with them, but we've not developed a plan.
Excuse me.
Councilor Pilon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make just a statement on that County Road 50. On the 50-kilometer reduction on County Road 18. That is only going from Malosh 250 meters.
Right.
Because I had a couple calls wanting to know how far.
Yeah.
So make sure it's reported right. It's only for 250 meters. That's that reduction.
Still under unfinished business? Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I brought it up at the last meeting. Christina wasn't. I don't know if you can. Do we have a schedule yet for budget deliberations? Christine?
It will be coming as a report to the next council meeting.
Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. At the last council meeting, I was going to prepare a notice of motion, but because it's time is of the essence, I would ask if I could make a motion right now. And it's referring to the EOC that we discussed last week. And the motion would be for council to request administration to direct the fire chief to train members of council for the Emergency Operations Center, that is the EOC, as soon as possible. If I could get a seconder, I'd like to speak on it.
Supported by Councilor DePasquale. You can speak on it now.
Thank you. In light of the fact that the fire chief said that we could all be called to the EOC in case of an emergency, I know myself, I have no training there whatsoever. I wouldn't know what to do in the event of an emergency at the EOC. So I'm asking that that council receive the training as quickly as possible.
Councillor Davies on the motion.
Thank you. I agree with Councillor Puget. I did speak to Chief Rick Murray the other day, and he said that, in fact, we did get invited to something, and I don't remember that, but it was probably in our early term, and none of us accepted it, so it didn't happen. So I think that I think it would be useful now, now that things are a little bit more solid, that we again have that training. And that we, and that it'd be a date suitable to all of us, that we could all make it.
There were two invites to you. On the motion, all in favor?
Just one quick point.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think that point of clarity has to be there, that, you know, these things are offered on a timely basis, and we can reschedule them again, but, you know, I don't want to get the sense out in there that that hasn't been made available in the past when indeed it has. And the chief spoke to that at the last meeting. I think he said it's on an annual basis that those are approved. So I'm certain he'll be able to come back with the next scheduled dates on that opportunity already.
On the motion, Councillor Puget.
Just for a point of clarification for what Councillor Sutton stated, at the time that they were invited to the for that
training.
I did attend, but that's not the training I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about actual training at the EOC Center, and at that time, I didn't know that I was a member of the EOC, or could be.
On the motion, all in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously. Next item, new business. Councillor Davies.
Just want to mention, and possibly it could be direction for administration to look into if it's timely. You know, accommodation has come up again now with the baseball team. We've got festivals. We've got, I mean, even right through to now, there are people coming to our town all the time. We're drawing more and more people, and I'm just wondering if we could again hunt down those hotels with that would be suitable for. Kinds of activities that go on at UCC, like a destination hotel, that would attract people just to come to the hotel, not necessarily to tournaments or business or whatever. But I'm just wondering if we could again approach, and I know that the administration worked very hard at keeping track of that.
It's an ongoing basis on the daily time. The problem you've got is the hotels. They're the ones that decide whether or not they want to
locate. But if we could maybe consider another pitch, that would, I guess, is my request.
Still under new business. Let me just remind council, there's the annual meeting for the chamber on November the 20th. They're going to have Cindy Prince and who that from the ministry coming. Gosh, it escaped me. Garfield Dale, I think his name is, from the ministry is going to be the guest speaker. Administration is encouraged to, they're asking for maybe some department heads to go out there to listen what's being stated. They're going to be talking about the bridge and, of course, some advantages Emmitsburg might benefit from with the construction of that. And so the fee that evening is $15 per person, and so I would certainly entertain a motion from council. Those who want to attend, council members, that is, and of course, department head should be able to do so. but it would be in the form of a motion from this particular body. Councilor Puget.
Also move that.
Been moved, supported by Councilor Davies. All in favor? Opposed? Count. Motion is carried. Anything else under new business? We haven't got a report from the in-camera.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Yeah. There's an in-camera report from the October 29th meeting. Council met in-camera at 6:15 on October the 29th, pursuant to Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Council discussed a matter with regard to non-union SAP, which is Salary Administration Program, heard under Section 239(2)(d) of the Act, labor relations or employee negotiations. There's nothing further to report on this matter. Council also discussed a matter with regard to fire protection requirements, heard under Section 239(2)(f), advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege. There's nothing further to report on this matter at this time. And the council meeting scheduled for before the public meeting today will be held after this meeting, and I'll report at the next council meeting.
Are there any notices of motion? That brings us to bylaw.
First bylaw, zoning bylaw amendment, 2012-96. Bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 19952.
What's your pleasure relative to that bylaw, Deputy Mayor Sutherland?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the bylaw 2012-96, being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 1999-52, as amended, of being taken as having been read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and the clerk be authorized to sign the same there too.
Been moved. Is there a supporter? Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried.
Confirmatory bylaw for the proceedings held of November 13th.
What's your confirmatory bylaw? Again, Councillor Sutton.
Move that bylaw 2012-103, being a bylaw to confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held on November 13th, 2012, be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same thereto.
There's a supporter for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Discussions? Here. Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. This is the one with the zone change, the bylaw. I didn't miss that. Was it?
No.
Confirmatory bylaw. Confirmatory.
Is that after?
No, it was before.
It was before.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 1999-52.
On the confirmatory bylaw, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
If I could ask Mayor Hurst if we could read this motion.
Yep. Yeah, sure. Special in camera motion.
The motion would be that council adjourn the public meeting at 8:05 and move into closed session to hear matter for CAO update under Section 239(2)(b) of the Act.
The motion Councilor. For that, Councilor Davies. Supported by Councilor Pino. Discussions? All in favor? Again, motion is carried. I will ask that we.